do on planet Earth. And I remember the first time she walked into Emmanuel as a visitor. I remember she was down there somewhere, and I just noticed how she worshipped God. I thought, here's somebody who really knows. I don't know from a bar of soap. I just thought, here's somebody who really loves Jesus, really loves him. Anyway, a few weeks later, she was here again, and she actually brought a song or a prophetic thing or a something. She did something that just released such life into the congregation. And oh, that's a brave young lady too, who's not even part of the church as such, but just feels confident enough to go, I've heard the Spirit of the Lord, I want to bring something. And I thought, take note. And anyway, sometime later, she actually came back, she moved here. And then I thought, oh, and then she finally joined this church after looking around, and I said, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that, God, that's a gift. But the big thing I want to say is this, is that I see in her somebody who has a very sweet spirit for Jesus, a very sincere and genuine love for Jesus, and somebody who hears the Spirit of the Lord. And I see somebody who's very brave. She doesn't, in terms of her person, look like the most intimidating person. But in the spirit, I see somebody who's very courageous and who is very intimidating in the spirit and is able to help other people rise up and help other people get more intentional about laying a hold of things by faith, because some people are just too passive. And I believe the Spirit of God uses you to stir something against passivity to say, now I need to rise up and I need to lay a hold of what God wants for me. So I'm super stoked that you're a part of our team, and I back you 100%, and I know that you've got something that these people need to hear.
Thank you. Can we do one thing? I actually want to honor, I didn't do this in the first service, and I can kick myself for it, but I really want to honor Greg and Sue, and I want to honor our leadership team, John and I, which you will hear further on in the message, but we have been going through a bit of a season at the moment, and they are people who really don't just say they back us, but they really do back us in their action and in their love for us. And even the team, I just want to honor you guys. We love you guys with our whole hearts. So can we just honor them for who they are? I'm also a bit corny. Right, so I really feel this is a message today. If you want to give this message a title, I call it Pursue with Expectation. And I'm going to read from Mark 5. So if you have your Bibles here, you can turn to Mark 5 or on your phones, verse 21 to 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And Jesus went with him. A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowds pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. In the Message version, it says, she told him her whole story. And he said to her, daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And there's three things I'd like to highlight from this passage of scripture. Number one, Jesus was on his way to see Jairus' daughter, who was on death's door. Jairus asked Jesus to come. Number two, the woman with the issue of blood. She had been treated by many physicians, had spent all her money, but she heard about Jesus. Number three, she shared her whole story with Jesus. Her risk of faith led to healing, but not only her healing, her wholeness. And I love stories. I'm a big stories person. And we all have a story, sitting here this morning, watching online. Some of our stories hold great joy, while some hold great sorrow. But you know what I've come to realize about stories is that we're never alone. We always share a moment, a memory, even a season with someone, whether it's our spouse, a friend, our neighbor, even a complete stranger. And this morning, I'd love to share some of our story, just a snippet of it, with you. We have been trying to fall pregnant for a while now, but my body has been saying another thing at the moment. That's key, at the moment. Physical affliction is already hard on its own, but what we can often neglect is our mental and our emotional well-being, because we primarily focus on the physical health or the physical circumstance. Hear me in this, though. It's not a bad thing doing the practical things to better our physical health or better our physical circumstance. I mean, in this season, we do find ourselves in doctors' offices, speaking with great men and women, you know, to get answers behind our why. However, a few weeks ago, I realized that I needed community, as my emotional and my mental state or place was just not great state. I couldn't carry it on my own anymore. I found myself in a place where the only thing I had left were tears. And they did not stop for 4 days. Nonstop. When I woke up, I cried. When I went to bed, I cried. When Sue asked me in the office how I'm doing, Jono had to answer for me. I needed help. So I sent a message to a few of my amazing, beautiful, powerful prayer warrior ladies, whom I trust wholeheartedly, and I asked for help. And you know, Jesus knows what we need when we need it. And a dear friend of mine, days after giving birth, showed up at my front door with sushi, my favorite, chocolate, also a favorite, no baby. Her sole purpose was to come and be with me, to come and love me, pray with me. She took me in her arms, sung the lyrics of Frozen, "Let it go, let it go." That's all she sung. And you know what I did? I did. There was a moment where I felt resistance, and I felt I didn't want to let it go because it's very vulnerable. But I did. And it's a moment shared with her that I'll never forget. She just held me while singing, "Let it go." The moment required only the presence of Jesus, nothing else. So this takes me to our first point. Jairus asked Jesus to come. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way. He enters on permission and invitation. And may I just add that there's absolutely no shame in asking for help. There's nothing wrong or weak about you when you ask for help. Some of us are in situations right now where our physical circumstances are screaming at us, yet we feel like we need to be doing it on our own. When last have you invited Jesus into your situation? The second point, the woman with the issue of blood. Think about it. She probably had a very good reason to not hope anymore. She was physically afflicted. She had been to the physicians, hardly had money left. But she heard about Jesus. And she reached out for his robe and was healed. Does this not indicate that somehow through everything she had endured, she made room for expectation? And I personally believe the expectation in her heart was just to touch the robe of Jesus. Just to touch the robe of Jesus. We also see that her personal narrative, her personal declaration within her heart was full of faith. I can get well. I'll say that again. I can get well. She must have known something about the nature of the person of who Jesus is, that he is life. And where there's life, there's freedom. Freedom is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So what is your personal narrative in the midst of your situation today? What declaration is rising up within you? Is it one of fear? Or one of faith? I can get well. I choose to trust you, Lord. I will not lose hope. I will remember your faithfulness. Your track record is only good. I may not be good right now, but Jesus, you are. Sometimes the biggest decisions we make will often sound like the very quiet whispers within our hearts. And you know, in that moment when my friend sang, "Let it go over me," that was my quiet whisper. I'm choosing to let go. And thirdly, she shared her story. Her risk of faith led to her healing and wholeness. When I sent that message out, I had to push fear aside, just as this woman did when Jesus asked, "Who touched my robe?" Yeah. It takes courage to share our stories of pain, of loneliness, our stories of addiction, even barrenness. But Jesus will stop for you, friends. He took the time to listen to the woman share her whole story. Her whole story. And if you know a woman, and if you've heard a woman tell a story, she doesn't leave details out. Let's be real. It was loud. It was busy with people. In one of the translations I was reading, it said it was jostling. They were jostling. But her faith is what changed the trajectory of her life. My friend who came to me that day took the time to listen. And I mean, with a newborn baby and a body still recovering, she was probably really exhausted. But the Jesus inside of her created space for my heart to feel seen, my heart to feel known, and for me to feel loved. Don't underestimate the power of community. Don't underestimate the power of community. You cannot do this life on your own. And in closing, Jude 1 verse 2, again in the Message, it says, "Relax. Everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything is coming together. Love is on the way. And his name is Jesus." He was literally on the way to Jairus' daughter. But I believe he was on the way for this woman with the issue of blood. Don't believe the lie that Jesus won't stop for you. He will. Yeah. And in our reaching out, we encounter love. A love that doesn't only heal our physical bodies or meet our physical circumstance or need, but also heals our hearts, wanting to bring transformation. A love that will change the trajectory of your life. So who are you reaching out to? Amen.
I want us to take a moment. I think there's a moment here where, off the back of what Robin has so vulnerably and so beautifully shared from that encounter Jesus had with that woman, the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our hearts. And if you don't mind closing your eyes, it'll be cool. Just, I want to ask a question. So who is your community? Who do you have in your life that you trust, that you can be honest with about your story? Yes, there's Jesus, and you first go to him. But it's amazing, it's his design that we would have community. People around us who would be able to flesh out this faith, flesh out this love, flesh out this grace. Because you're not just a spirit being drifting on this planet. You're a human being, spirit, soul, and body. And community is what helps the whole human being experience true life. Sometimes our marriages are not good, and we just carry on without doing anything. We don't tell anybody the real story. Who's your community? Sometimes our finances are in a real mess, but we just carry on getting more and more into debt. But we actually need help. Who is your community? So Holy Spirit, right now, we want to be a people who surround ourselves, even if it's just a handful of people, people who know what it is to trust Jesus, people who know what it is to pray, people who know what it is to love and to speak your wisdom and your knowledge and not just the ways of the world. Holy Spirit, lead us into more meaningful community. Show us who we can build with. And then may we go out of our way and reach out to them. Because we know it's not your will that we would do life on our own. But God, you designed family. Family was your genius. And it's not always physical family. It can also be spiritual family. Nobody has to walk alone. Nobody. So God, show us. And show us too whom we can reach out to and listen to their story and be an encouragement to release life and love into their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Didn't Robin share so beautifully, so vulnerably, so wonderfully? I want to say this, though, too. I think there might be, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people here this morning who, as you listened to Robin sharing, you just felt in your heart like movement. That's all I can say. You felt like a pulling on your heart. And maybe you actually, this morning, before you leave, need to just come up, and I'm going to say they're going to be available. Jono and Robin are going to be available up here. For you to come and just say, I need some ministry coming out of that. Off the back of that, I actually need you to just pray with me. I just need to tell you something. Because you might have just a bit of an affinity with somebody who's been vulnerable like that to come and share with them. So as we close now, I want to invite you to come to the front. People wear their masks, so it'll be safe. I don't wear masks. I'm speaking into a microphone, and people are far away from me. Okay, but when this happens, come up to the front and let God minister to you through them at this time. Okay. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Tea and coffee are served outside on the patio, and have an